interesting word. It means to set a time and then bring it to pass or cause it to happen. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed a set time for his bounds. Death is sure. You can't walk around it. You can't get out of it. When death comes, it's time for you to go. There was a man, a Hollywood actor, who found out he had pancreatic cancer. And he went on one of those evening shows, night shows. I don't know if it's Johnny Carson, who it was a long time ago. And they asked him how he was doing. He said, I'm going to do fine. I'm going to beat this thing. And he flopped down on the ground and did 50 push-ups just to show that he was strong as he could be. 2.5 weeks later, he died. He was a healthy man except for pancreatic cancer. 2.5 weeks later, he took his last breath and passed away. Why did that happen, Pastor? Because death is sure. You can't escape it. You can't run around it. You can't act as though it's not there. It is going to happen. Bible says so. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Number one, death is sure. Number two, death is sorrowful. It's part of life. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul is writing to the Thessalonian Christians. There's some false teaching going on in the church at Thessalonica, and they're telling people there that there is no life after death, that your loved ones that have died are just gone. There's no resurrection, they're just gone. And Paul wants to clear that up, so he brings to them this passage about resurrection. It's called the rapture passage. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That word asleep is the word have died. It's talking about dead people. And he says this, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. There's sorrow in death. When my dad died, I was sorrowful. When my mother died, I was sorrowful. When someone close to you dies, a father, a brother, a sister, a wife, a mother, it doesn't matter, you're sorrowful. There's sorrow in death. There's a sadness, a heartache when a loved one dies. We're sorrowful, we grieve, we weep. We hurt. But did you catch in our text what it said? That you sorrow not as others which have no hope. There's two kinds of sorrow. This verse says so. There's a sorrowfulness or a sorrow that grips your heart, but it's still a hopeful sorrow. For the believer, the Christian, the person who knows Christ, that's what it's talking about. You don't have to sorrow like those who have no hope. They have no hope of their loved ones being in heaven. They have no hope of their own eternal destiny. They have no hope of joy with Christ. They're hopeless. And so their sorrow is going to be different. It's going to be heavier. It's going to be harder. It's going to be more difficult. I had a funeral one time, and a large family was there, and they weren't believers. None of them were believers. The casket was closed right at the beginning of the service. And when I finished my sermon, I just said amen, and a woman sprang from the first pew here, screaming and carrying on and yelling, and threw herself across the casket in dismay and heartache and said, "Mama, come back. Mama, come back. Mama, come back." She said that for 5 minutes. Death came to that household, and she didn't know what to do. And she had incredible sorrow, but it's called hopeless sorrow. She sorrowed without hope. I've done funerals for large families. A 14-year-old girl was out riding her horse one day in my youth department. She's quite a horse lady. She's galloping along the fence line and was outside the fence line, and there was a gully there that went up to the road. And the horse hitched and threw her, and she went into this gully, and the horse slipped and fell on her and killed her instantly. 14 years of age, taken out of this world. That Saturday morning at the funeral home, where families came to see the family and greet, Mom and Dad were standing down here. And when people came up the aisle, they were crying and weeping. And this mother and father were moved by that, but they weren't spending a great time in remorse. They said, "You know what the greatest thing is? We know that our daughter, at 14 years of age, is in heaven with Jesus today. She had hopeful sorrow, not hopeless sorrow. A hopeful sorrow. God has made us as believers with a great capacity to love others. And when someone we love dies, our love, listen, this is an important thought, our love is expressed in sorrow. For the unsaved who do not know Christ, their loss, listen very carefully to this, their loss is filled with sorrow. They can't get around it. They can't lose it. They can't leave it. It grips them. But we sorrow not as others which have no hope, all God's people said. Death is sure. Death is sorrowful. There's a third thing. Death is sacred. This word sacred is an important word. It means holy. It has a thought of something that is to be reverenced because it pertains to God. It's sacred. It has a picture of him viewing it as that which is held in the highest order or the highest esteem. In fact, it has the thought of something that is completely consecrated by God. When we say death is sacred, we mean that. It's consecrated by God. It's held in the highest esteem. When a Christian dies, even if they're pretty well known, they're not going to get front page advertising in the paper in Richmond. We might get on the back page in the obituaries. After a week or so, that's forgotten. People won't remember that. But that's not how death is to God. Death doesn't view it simply as something that happened to someone somewhere at some time. To God, death, your death, my death, his children's death, is sacred, holy, esteemed in the highest order by God Almighty. It's sacred. Listen to this verse in the Old Testament. Psalm 116, 15 says this. Precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. All God's people said. That means something's important to God, doesn't it? It's precious to him. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. The New Testament says this, Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Aren't those sacred verses? Death is sacred to God Almighty. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. No one that dies in Christ is ever forgotten. In fact, there's a party thrown for him. God sends his death angel down here out of the battlements of heaven. He comes down here to earth and he captures the spirit of that loved one who dies and takes it home to heaven where it'll be with God eternally. And there they worship and serve God and sing the happy songs of heaven all day long. Over and over again. Why is death so sacred? Let me give you just three thoughts. Number one, because of its value. Because of its value. I went to Hawaii years ago. And I went to the Pearl Harbor Memorial. How many have ever been there? That's one of the most solemn places I've ever been. The Arizona sits in the bottom of that harbor. Over 1,000 men were still in that ship when it went down. They could not free them from that ship. They all suffocated or died by drowning, every one of them. There's still oil leaking from that ship comes to the surface every once in a while. They've made a walkway you can walk right out over that ship. And as you're standing there, you're realizing that 1,000 plus men are dead and lie in that graveyard called Pearl Harbor. I took notice of them. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have walked across that bridge. And none of them, including me, can name one of them. But for everyone that knew Christ, he knows their name. He knows where they're from. He knows when they came to Christ. He knows when they died. And he knows the moment, the instant they entered heaven's portal, because they are precious to him. Death is sacred because it's precious. It has great value. Number two, it's precious because it fulfills God's promise. Did you catch that in the verse? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit. Here's the promise, that they may rest from their labors, all God's people. When your work is done, you can rest. When your life has been fulfilled for Christ and you've finished the work that God wanted you to do, you can rest. In the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us about that rest. In fact, it says, there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We labor here, we rest there. We serve God here, we rest there. And we have the joy of resting in the very presence of Christ. Death may take our life here, but life does not stop to exist at death. It just opens the portal to everlasting life and our rest with Christ in heaven. Death is sacred because it fulfills God's promise. Then number three. Death is sacred because it marks life's importance. Do you know your life's important to God? How do you know? Listen to what it says again. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. God included that in this verse. You are important to God. Your life is important to God. Every moment you spend walking this earth is important to God. You are laboring for the Almighty. And God knows it, and God sees it, and God watches it. Well, I'm not a preacher, Pastor. I'm not. It doesn't say only preachers. It says anyone that's saved that's walking their life for Christ, God notices it. God marks it down. God even sees the tears you shed. Did you know that? He marks them down in a book. Psalm 56. Read it. You're weeping over whatever it is. Perhaps you're weeping over a loved one who needs Christ. Perhaps you wept over the loss of a loved one who has died of cancer. I hate cancer. Perhaps you're weeping over the pain that you're experiencing that the doctor can't seem to get a hold of. Perhaps you're weeping over the family members that have gone on and they're not here today. And every tear you cry, every tear you shed, every drop that falls from your eyes, God Almighty writes down. And he puts it, the Bible says, in a book of remembrance. Think of that. He records it. Now, can't you see that picture when you get to heaven? Lord, it's so good to see you. Oh, it's such a joy to know I'm here now. And God looks down at you and says, oh, I know. I remember 1977, 5 o'clock in the evening. Your daddy laid his head down and took his last breath. I saw you weeping there. I wrote it down. He knows. Death is sacred to God because it marks life's importance. And one last thing. That's the good news. Death is satisfying. All God's people said. Now, please don't think that I'm going to stand here and go, woohoo, man, I hope I die tomorrow. Because I don't. But someday I'm going to die, so are you. And if you know Christ, there's satisfaction in that. Listen to what Paul said in the book of Philippians. He said, for to me to live is Christ. That's an incredible statement in itself. For to me to live is Christ. Living on earth with the knowledge of Christ as my Savior and the joy of knowing Him as my Redeemer, there's something satisfying about that. There's something hopeful about that. Every day you get up, Christ walks with you. Every moment of your life, whether you're searching out, you're seeking some help, you're trying to help, you're serving God, doesn't matter what it is. Christ is there. Every moment, every step, every inch of the way, Christ walks with you. So Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. What a dynamic. But he said, there's something better than that. What? To die is gain. All God's people. What's that, Paul? Something's better than having the joy of living with Christ, living for Him, having Him live through you. There's something better than that? Yes. To die is gain. Because to be absent from the body is instantaneous presence with the Lord. You'll see Him firsthand. That word gain means unimagined. Unimagined blessing. Means abundant, absolute satisfaction. One man wrote this about it. It's an advantage that far exceeds that of your present life. All God's people said. Gain. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let me give you four thoughts about that. Number one, it's gain, it's satisfying because, number one, of its place, all God's people said. We die, we don't just go on the ground. Amen. People can come and kick dirt on us. My wife decided that her and her sister. You can't put those two together and think of anything good coming of it. But they decided where we were going to be buried, where I was going to be buried. And there's a little bitty place down by her little hometown, and there are probably 200 people buried there, and they happened to buy four grave plots, one for me, one for Norma, one for her sister, one for her brother-in-law. So we were down there one day, and they said, let's go look at our burial plots. I said, what? Let's go look at our burial plots. I said, now why on earth do I want to go look at my burial plot? Well, you want to know where you're going to be buried, don't you? I said, all right, we'll go. So we got them, we looked at them, and Jones said, well, I can't. There's four. One, two, three, four. The road's right here, and it's a dirt road. And there's one, two, three, four. Joan said, I can't be buried that close to the dirt. I just cough all day. So she said, I want to be buried over here, farthest away. And Norma said, well, I'm going to be buried next to you. I said, what about me? So they got me right next to the road so they can drive by me. I mean, I can just see it. It'd be a muddy road, and they'd drive right up on my grave, right over off it. They won't care much about who's there, who's buried there, who's going there. I mean, I had to go through all that nonsense. But I'm not going to the grave. My old body will be there. I'm going to donate my body to science just to cause them complete grief and sorrow. Guys, I'll never do that again. I'm quitting. That guy is such a reckless. We never find anything out that's going to help us. John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm going home to heaven. Home, blessed promised land. It's satisfying because of its place. And I like this. It's satisfying because of its foreverness. Aren't you glad? You know, we're going to live 70, 75. A few of us might get to 80. I don't know. Or longer. Geraldine, I don't want to leave you out. She's already there. Or 100. There you go. But that's just to eternity. Eternity? We're going to die and live with Christ forever. All God's people said. It's foreverness. Number three, it's satisfying because of the dramatic change that takes place. And it's dramatic. Look at yourself. You remember when you were 20 and stealth? Now you look in the mirror and you go, oh, there's no hope. That's a hopeless situation. Body is old, you're getting wrinkled, your hair's going, your hair's as long as your hair on your chin. It's bad. It's going to pot. First Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Here's the change. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, listen to this, incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body that's fallen apart, shall be made incorruptible. And this mortal shall take on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Strength of death is sin. Strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a change. Then one fourth reason, I think because of the companionship. There's a little song written years ago, and the title of the song was, Jesus will be what makes heaven for me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I mean, streets of gold, mansions that you can't imagine. My granddaughter has a friend in the school she goes to. They own the largest furniture store in the world. It's in High Point, North Carolina. They saw this house, in an area that is, you can't buy into that area unless somebody passes or the house is sold by the family, but it happens, just doesn't happen very often. It's a very historic place. There's a 5-bedroom or 6-bedroom, 7-bathroom home on this piece of property. They bought it. $2.2 million. Then they tore the house down. Leveled it. So they got $2.2 million worth of dirt. And they're going to build a bigger house there. I thought to myself, what on earth? Then I got to thinking, well, that's nothing. That won't even be a garage in heaven. Many mansions. I could tell you how big they are, but you just wouldn't believe it, so I don't want to take my time to do all that math. But I did it one day. They're big. They're huge. Take you a day to go from one side to the other of your mansion. And if 5 billion people die and go to heaven, they'll all have something that big. 5 billion. It's all told for you in the book of Revelation. But we'll get to see Jesus. We'll be able to spend time with him. We'll get to see God. Spend time with him. My dad's there. My mama's there. My aunts and uncles are there. Paul's there. Peter's there. John's there. All those people we'll be able to converse with, talk with. Peter, tell me about that time you're in prison. The church was praying for you. Oh, Brother Leonard, that was something. He said, you know, God kicked me out of that jail, and he said, I went and knocked on the door, and this church was praying for me. I knocked on the door, a little gal answered the door. And he said, let me in. It's late at night. He said, let me in. She didn't let him in. She ran back and said, Peter's at the door. They said, oh, hush, we're praying for Peter. Praying that God will get him out of prison. Well, I know he's already out. He's at the door. God already answered your prayer. Oh, and they let him in. Well, we'll hear all those things and more. We'll hear the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of things that Jesus did that never were recorded. And we'll get to be with those we love forever and forever. No more sadness,
No more sickness. No more crying. No more death. For the former things are passed away. Be no doctors in heaven. No eye surgeons in heaven. No mental patients in heaven. We had a little guy in our church where I was a youth pastor years ago. He was 17 years old, but he had the mind of a 3-year-old. His name was Alan. And we had a psychologist, psychiatrist in our church, very educated, well-known, very could articulate his philosophy of life very well. He said, you know, the sad thing about these people is they can't learn to say the words. They can't learn to speak. They can't understand when you tell them something. Their understanding isn't deep enough to understand that. The lady that was teaching them just had an 8th grade education. So she sang everything to them. She sang John 3:16 to them. She made up a verse. She sang John 3:36 to them. She sang John 14 to them. She sang John 15 to them. All of a sudden, one day, Alan was just sitting there, and she was singing a song, and Alan chimed in and said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And he said, sang the whole verse. And then he said to her, this young man that couldn't think, couldn't understand, couldn't get anything, he looked at her and said, can I have Jesus too? She said, oh, you can have Jesus too. That day Alan got saved, and he's in heaven now. And he's got as clear a mind as Jesus had. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, all God's people said. Lord, we love you. Help us to live for you. Help us not to forget this matter of death. And may we hold on to those truths that are helpful to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.